Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's go.
All right, welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast, the number one industrial-related podcast in the universe. I'm not overselling that. I'm telling you that right now. But it is 100% dedicated to you, the industrial professionals, the companies that get it done. You're bold, you're brave, you dare greatly, you innovate, and you're changing not just the world, but you're changing lives. That's why we celebrate you each and every day on this podcast. It is a platform dedicated to you. Thank you very much for what you do and how you impact our lives in a positive way. Great interview. His name is Dan Bornay. He's a legend in Louisiana, former president of the Louisiana Chemical Association. And man, does he have some chemical street cred. Let's get going. He's a legend. He's also one of the voices of LSU sports. And of course, if you're in Louisiana, LSU is a pretty common topic of passion and interest. And Dan, in this interview, it's great because one of the things that we recognize is the impact, the positive impact the chemical manufacturing industry has on our lives. I mean, you look around, you look at everything that you see on this video has something to do and has been touched by the chemical industry. Powerful industry. They just make our lives better. Now, anyway, you get the picture. Dan is an incredible, he's just an incredible professional and gentleman, no doubt about that. Now, I've been harping on this topic, and we've been talking about companies in, you know, the number of interviews that I have done and the themes that have been sort of exposed during this particular pandemic have been pretty clear. One, it's always, how do I retain talent? How do I reduce risk? How do I save money? How do I make money? Please, how do I make money? And how do I build in right now a sense of resiliency within my business so that if something happens, God forbid, we can survive in a better way? So those are sort of the topics, and everything that we talk about on the Industrial Talk Podcast really sort of revolve around those key topics. Now, we have to consider once again the necessity to collaborate, the necessity to innovate as we go forward, because if you're looking for resiliency, you got to innovate. You got to do all of it. If you're looking at making money, you got to, you know, innovate. You got to educate, and that's a big deal. You got to educate because the world is changing rapidly. Education, Dan brings tremendous insight into that. And then, of course, we got to do it with a sense of speed and urgency. You got to be nimble. And then finally, you got to be willing to make mistakes. You got to move forward. You cannot be timid in this world, right? And many of the individuals that we have featured on the Industrial Talk Podcast are bold, brave, and they dare greatly, and they do it each and every day because they know that we, me, you, depend on them to be successful. And they're going to be the ones that get us through this challenging time. And they bring a lot of energy and positive insights into what's taking place. So nonetheless, it's very, very important. Now, Dan, once again, former president of the Louisiana Chemical Association, just starts bringing in this whole history of what's taking place. Now, I'm going to have out on his landing page the videos that he produced in conjunction with LCA, and they're just great. And it just gives you a sense of why this stuff is important, historical perspective of why the chemical industry is so impactful in our lives. And it's great. So once the interview's over, you'll know that we're going to have all of these wonderful links specific to Dan, what he's done, and the impact the chemical industry has in our lives, which has just been a wonderful thing. So without me yammering on and on and on, here's Dan. Enjoy the interview. Dan, welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast. Absolute honor to have you on the number one industrial-related podcast in the universe. Is that a bold statement?
I think it's well-deserved. It's delightful to be with you, and I'm honored to be asked. Thank you.
Well, for the listeners out there, this is an honor. You're gonna be amazed by Dan's absolute street cred when it comes to the chemical industry, broadcasting, you name it. Dan is a legend. Yeah, you are. In Louisiana, the state of, in the Gulf South. So, Dan, give us a little 411 on your background for the listeners out there.
Thank you so much, Scott. Well, early in my career, after having graduated from Nicholls State, I had stints in broadcasting in government, worked for two or three U.S. senators and the governor, had a stint in education, and then went to work for Kaiser Aluminum and Chemical Corporation, right. Multinational. Worked with Kaiser for 10 years in plants up and down the river here in Louisiana. And then for nearly 30 years, I worked with the Louisiana Chemical Association. I retired from the LCA at the end of 2016 and gave the baton to my colleague of many years, Greg Bowser, who now runs the LCA and all of its related organizations. And so what I've had the opportunity to do over those years is to see the industry grow, contract, and then grow exponentially over the last several years. It's been a very exciting renaissance from the time in the early 2000s when the price of natural gas was astronomical and threatened the very existence of our industry. And then to have this incredible shift, this incredible turnaround where fracking came into being and natural gas became abundant and cheap. And that changed the entire landscape. It changed the game. And from that point on, the amount of investment that has come to Louisiana and to Texas and to the Gulf South has been unbelievable. Billions and billions of dollars of investment in the ground now, and billions more in the planning stages, which I think will come, may come a little later because of what we are going through now with the pandemic. But nevertheless, it's going to happen. So my long-term outlook for petrochemical manufacturing in Louisiana and in Texas is very bullish.
You know, it's interesting when we start talking about the value, and when I say it's a locational value as well, not just the fact that we get the feedstock, the chemical, the energy, the ability to be able to pull in that natural gas. It's also the logistics and our access to water and then beyond. And so that's what makes that whole Gulf South, Louisiana, Texas, so important, not just from here, but globally, and the ability to be able to manufacture these important chemicals to make our lives better.
Well, yes, you know, nature didn't give us the white beaches that that Florida got, didn't give us the mountains of Colorado. Nature gave us dead dinosaurs, gave us a Jurassic Park of raw materials, oil, natural gas, gave us the aorta of American commerce, the Mississippi River, gave us these natural gifts. And with those natural gifts, we developed a tremendously supportive infrastructure. And we've developed an incredibly productive workforce. And so we've taken those gifts of nature. We've molded them into an infrastructure that can move product around from plant to plant, can get product to market through pipelines and barges and ships and rail, and with an extremely productive and very, very safety-conscious workforce.
And it's cost-effective. You're dealing with what you said, and I think that it's real important, that the chemical – The chemical portfolio that exists where in this Gulf, we are able to also transact between business to business, natural gas, and whatever other chemicals that I can consume or I need for my feedstock, for my product. It's all right here, and it's very efficient in that sense, too. And I like the way you talked about it.
It's a symbiotic relationship between and among the oil and gas industry and the chemical industry. That's why we call it the petrochemical industry. Natural gas is to a chemical plant like what flour is to a bakery shop. Baker uses flour to make virtually everything in that baker shop. You go to Ambrosia, you go to any of the great bakeries down in New Orleans and in the North Shore, and you're going to find lots of stuff made out of flour. That's the same thing that natural gas is to chemical plants. And so we use it to generate electricity. We use it for heat. We use it also as a basic raw material. We strip things from natural gas. We make other things out of it. And so our primary use of natural gas is to crack ethane. And from that cracking process, we get an entire range of chemicals that we eventually turn into finished products down the road. Much of the rest of the world doesn't use natural gas for its chemical production. It uses naphtha. It cracks a barrel of oil to get naphtha so that it can get its chemical derivatives. And so when the price of oil is in a certain relationship to the price of natural gas, the Louisiana petrochemical industry and the Texas petrochemical industry, and now even the American petrochemical industry, can really knock the socks off of most of the rest of the world when it comes to chemical manufacturing. I'll give you a ratio.
Wow.
The oil is bumping up now. Oil is about $40 a barrel as we speak today. It could be different when people listen to this podcast. Natural gas is about $2 an MMBTU. You divide 2 into 40, and you get a 20 to 1 ratio. 20 to 1 ratio. Any ratio that's 7.5 or 8 to 1 greater, just hands down, natural gas is going to win that competitive manufacturing process. And so when oil is up and gas is in the proper ratio, then America can beat the world when it comes to chemical production. And that's why you've got a $6 to $7 billion cracker going up in western Pennsylvania. Yeah. Shell is building that cracker up there on top of a fracked gas. And that would have never happened had we not had this revolution in natural gas, which has developed now into a renaissance for American chemical manufacturing.
So this is interesting, because when you take that ratio, the barrel of oil, and we've because of Corona, we've had some real volatility within that barrel of oil. We've got over abundance of inventory around the world. But now that it's trending a little north, $40, $50, $60, natural gas, does natural gas follow that sort of trend, or does it?
Not necessarily. Independent? No, it does not. It's independent of that. Gas could be at $3 in MMBTU, and oil could be at 100. There's really no direct correlation there. The key correlation is between naphtha and ethane.
Yeah.
And when you are cracking oil versus natural gas, natural gas will win any time your ratio is 7 to 1 or greater. So,
and in the United States, what does it look like from a natural gas outside of the because of fracking, because the technology with fracking, and because of the success, what's the inventory with that natural gas? It's a lot, right? In North America,
it's huge. It's incredibly huge. In fact, I'll give you a comparative statistic. In 2008, 2009, when natural gas was $12-14 an MMBTU.
Yeah.
There were about 50, and I counted them. I've got them on a map. There were about 50 planned LNG import terminals. Now, not all of those import terminals were going to get built, but companies were looking to bring natural gas into the United States because they thought we were running out of natural gas. Well, when fracking came along, the economic model got turned on its head. And now, instead of import facilities for LNG, we've got export facilities for LNG. America's got so much gas, we're building LNG export terminals to ship it to the world, to Japan and to China.
And it's that's how much gas
we have.
And it can land it. The price point will still be there, and it benefits more. I mean, you're bringing it in because the price point is right.
Yeah, and of course, not every LNG terminal that is planned is going to get built either. It's just like when we were looking at 50 import terminals, and just a couple got built. And on those, they flipped the switches on them. They've turned them from import terminals to export yeah. terminals. And it's an expensive switch to flip, because those things are $1 billion, a lick, more than that. And so it's a very expensive. But that is happening. America is full of natural gas.
See, that's and once again, in the Gulf South, they've got to go someplace, and it just makes complete sense coming on down to the Gulf South for export solution. Now, listeners out there, if you've never seen an LNG terminal, it's something to behold. They are absolutely massive, and I remember the first time I saw one. It blew my socks off. You couldn't stop staring at it because it was so massive. Now, I gotta sort of go off on a tangent. Why is the Calcasieu Parish so sort of? That's where a lot of the LNGs are. Why?
Yeah. Well, the Calcasieu Basin has very easy access to the Gulf of Mexico. It's right there on the Gulf of Mexico. And you don't have to go very far from Cameron Parish to get right into the Gulf. In fact, it borders the Gulf. And so it's a perfect place for these export terminals. You know, all of the investment numbers that we've been talking about over the years for petrochemical investment, none of those numbers include LNG terminals. LNG terminals get a different investment line. When we say that $60 billion of investment has been earmarked for Louisiana, and about $40 billion of that is in the ground already, that's petrochemical investment, not necessarily LNG investment. And so you not only have huge investments in chemical manufacturing, you also have a separate line of very huge investments in LNG terminals.
Yeah, and they're big capital. That's big capital. We're not talking little tiny numbers by any stretch of the imagination. Now, with that said, Dan, you've seen it from when the industry as a whole was struggling. Natural gas now all of a sudden just the lifeblood of chemical manufacturing, petrochemical manufacturing, everything associated with it. Where do you see it trending? Where do you see it going? I know you're bullish. What do you see?
Well, I'm bullish because the world is going to eventually return to some degree of normalcy. And if you look at the production run rates, if you look at inventories, if you put those things for the long term, you're going to find that sometime in 2021, the uptick is going to begin. It's going to look somewhat like a hockey stick, okay? Uh-huh. And then I think by 2022, we're really going to be up and running again. It's going to take some time to adjust to a diminished worldwide demand because of the pandemic. But that's going to come back eventually. And you have to look at this not in the short term, but you have to look and take your long-term lenses on to look how this is going to eventually evolve into the future. And I think it's very positive and very optimistic for American manufacturing. And if it's good for American manufacturing, it's doubly good for Louisiana, because so much of that manufacturing is based right here in South Louisiana.
Yeah, and given the fact that I see what you're saying, a couple of years, back up full, but we're still going to be consuming the necessity to consume the chemicals that are being manufactured in this area. That's one. Two. Two, I don't see natural gas getting a spike. There might be price fluctuations, but you're not going to see it because the abundance of natural gas and the necessity or the ability to be able to export. That's always a good thing. We got abundance, let's export it. So that stability of that feedstock and our ability to be able to use that is great. And that's going forward. You don't see anything. Not like the volatility in the oil market, where it could be all over the place.
Yeah, there are other countries getting into exporting LNG as well. So we've got competition all over the world when it comes to exporting LNG. You know, just for listeners who may not automatically know how it works, which you take natural gas, just like you burn in your stove, and you freeze it. you freeze it so much that it becomes a liquid. You put that liquid into ships, and you send those ships all over the world. And then when those ships get to where they're going, you heat it up again, and it becomes gas again. That is the process. It's a pretty simple process when you think about it. But it's multi-billion dollars a copy to build an LNG plant, to get the LNG tankers that you need to ship the stuff, and then to have the facilities on the other end to take it and to reconvert it or to convert it back into a gas.
And it's on a grand scale. It's big stuff.
Yeah.
I love
it. If you want to hunt with those guys, you're going to have to hunt with the big dogs. I can tell you.
I was out there.
That's serious money.
It is. My first exposure to an LNG, and I can't remember where it was, but I was doing some fishing, redfish. We were in some sort of part of, West Louisiana, and we're out there poodling around and toodling, and we come up, and all I could remember are these tanks. Not just what I'm used to, like, bulk liquid. No, these are massive, and it's just, and the ability to be able to manage that safely, manage that commodity within that tank is a remarkable achievement.
Well, not only that, but to transship it thousands and thousands of miles to Japan or to China or to wherever it's going in a safe manner.
I love it. Dan, we're going to have to wrap it up. I mean, we're running out of time right now, but how would somebody get a hold of you? What's the best way for a listener to say, doggone it, I like what Dan was saying. I would like to talk to him.
Well, I tell you, my colleagues at the Chemical Association have been so kind to me and have permitted me to keep my email address, and it's very simple. It's dan@lca.org. That's dan@lca.org.
It really doesn't. It doesn't get any easier than that. I'm telling you right now. I've seen a lot of domain names, and boy, they're pretty rough. LCA, I can remember. I can remember how to spell Dan, and I definitely can put a ORG on the end of that. I'm successful. You too, listeners, can be successful. Dan, I know. I appreciate your time, your wisdom, your insights into just sort of that macro look at what's taking place. Oh, one last question. Mm-hmm. Now, do you see from a jobs perspective for, people, do you see a bright opportunity for people who are just seeking employment?
Absolutely. In fact, as I mentioned, my colleague Greg Bowser and I and Lisa Pulizzano, who runs the Chemical Association Alliance, we spent a morning visiting the Baton Rouge Community College last week to look at their process technology program, which is very vibrant and extremely important to the industry. There are process technology programs now at several community colleges around the state where young people are coming out of high school, going to a community college for 2 years, and then going to work for a chemical plant or a refinery and making $80,000 to $90,000 a year with a technical degree. And as the workforce ages, they likewise create jobs for people who are coming out of the community colleges with these outstanding degrees in process technology.
See, it's got to blow your mind that they're coming out 80 to 90 grand, 70 grand. It doesn't really matter. Coming out, doing something that this is this important, and that is just the beginning. It's even better going up as you continue to become greater and better at what you do. It's exciting.
Scott, these are not your grandfather's plant jobs. No. These are jobs these young men and women get into control rooms with Honeywell system screens up there, and with a joystick and a mouse, they're controlling $1 billion worth of investment with 2 years of technical training at a community college. And no debt at all to worry about. And so it's a tremendous opportunity for our young people. And the idea is to get that out with, folks like yourselves who've got a lot of people listening and who can help us explain to young people their opportunities in our industry.
Very good. All right, Dan, thank you very much. Thank you for joining the Industrial Talk Podcast. Absolute honor. You listeners out there, stay tight. We're going to wrap it up on the other side. Thank you for listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast. We will be right back.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
All right. Thank you once again for joining the Industrial Talk Podcast. Dan Bornay is his name. Incredible gentleman, incredible professional, passionate about the chemical industry and the benefits that it brings to our lives each and every day. We celebrate you, the chemical professionals, everybody that is associated with that. Thank you very much for making our lives better. Once again, you'll get everything that you need to know about Mr. Dan out on his podcast on industrialtalk.com. And I highly recommend that you look at the videos that he has provided, the links about the history of the chemical industry, specifically here in the Gulf South, and all the wonderful things that people do to make our lives better. It's a great conversation. Again, go out to the Industrial Talk Podcast. We're really kicking in gear the Industrial Academy. And the reason we're doing that is twofold. One, you got to educate. Two, you got to educate. And I'll throw another one in there. You got to educate, especially now. And we're going to be highlighting the best of the best within industry, teaching and departing the education that we need to be successful in the future. So that's at industrialtalk.com. And it is the Industrial Academy. You'll find it easily out there. Be bold, be brave, dare greatly, change the world. That's what we're all about. Thank you very much. And we'll be back with another incredible interview shortly.